So today we are going to spend our lecture developing optimality condition for constrained optimization. And we will consider these optimization problems. We wish to minimize the function x from Rn to R subject to external constraints. So we want to minimize f of x such that x belongs to a set capital F, which is a subset of Rn. Okay? No assumption on this subset. Okay? The only thing which is relevant is that this is a proper subset. This is not the full space. Otherwise, we have already done the job in the first semester. Okay? The minimal assumption we are taking on F is that it is differentiable. So, why do we need to develop new optimality conditions? Okay? If adding a constraint really relevant for optimality conditions, the answer is yes. Okay. If you remember the unconstrained case, the heart of optimality condition was given by stationary what we call stationary points, the points at which the gradient is the zero vector. Okay? One could think this works here all the same. This is not true. So let's consider a very simple example. Two vectors. Okay. And the function is x1 squared plus x2 squared. If you want to see it in more general form, this is the square of the Euclidean normal. Okay? Well, the gradient of this function is the following, the vector 2x1, 2x2, and the gradient is the zero vector if and only if x is the zero vector. Clearly, this function is greater or equal than zero everywhere, and it takes values zero exactly when x1 and x2 are zero. Okay? And indeed, this is the only point at which the gradient is the zero vector. Okay? If you want to draw a picture of the level curves here are so x1 squared plus x2 squared equals to some k is a circle centered in the origin of radius square root of k. Okay? So these are the level curves. Okay? And the value of the function gets bigger and bigger as you are considering points which are farther and farther away. Okay? The function is growing this way. And this is the minimum of the full space. But suppose you take any set x, which does not contain the zero vector. Okay? Well, in this example, it's not possible to have a stationary point of the function f in your physical region. Okay? Suppose your physical region is a compact set, so it's inside a ball. Okay? We have a Weierstrass theorem telling us that f is continuous, x is compact, therefore at least a minimum point exists. Okay? So this problem has a minimum point, but it is not possible that the gradient is zero at that point. Okay? So we do need new optimality conditions. Okay? stationarity for F is no longer a necessary optimality condition. Okay? We need somehow a different concept of stationarity, okay, which takes into account the constraint. This was somehow clear from the beginning. Okay? If optimality conditions were not related to capital X, to your feasible region, okay, the constrained and unconstrained problems wouldn't be different. Okay? So, the goal today is to show you optimality conditions for this problem. Okay? So, what's the idea? Well, let's suppose, for instance, our feasible region is in R2, for instance, this capital X. Okay. We need to check. Suppose we want to check this X bar, if this X bar is a minimum point or not. By definition, we should check, let's say, a local minimum point, okay? We should check if the value of the function at points which are close, enough close to X bar and inside the feasible region, achieve or not bigger value for F than F achieves at X bar. Okay? This is the definition. Okay? This is a minimum, local minimum, if and only if you can find any neighborhood such that all feasible points in the neighborhood X are such that F at X is greater or equal than F at X bar. Okay? This is the definition. So, how can we check it? Well, the idea to check local optimality is the following. Well, let's check whether f of x is less or equal than f at each point xn of a sequence which goes as n goes to infinity to x bar. Okay? So we consider points x1, x2, x3, x4, x5, x6, and so on, which are getting closer and closer to x bar. Okay? So we want a sequence of points that goes to x bar and xn must belong to C. Prenotably, the name is capital X. To capital X. Okay? And clearly, we also are not interested to consider xn, which are x bar. Okay? So, the idea is to check optimality along all these curves. Okay? Well, maybe I've drawn too many points. Let's consider this vector x1 minus x bar. This vector x2 minus x1, this vector x3 minus x1, x4 minus x1, x bar. Okay? So, in general, let's consider the vector xn minus x. Okay? This provides you a direction along which you can move away from x bar. Okay. Oh, we are speaking of direction, so let's take them to have unitary noise, to be unitary vectors. Okay? So, if here we draw the ball B of radius of center x bar and radius x1, okay, we can consider these directions. Okay? If you want to write them algebraically, then we are considering xn minus x bar divided by the norm of this distance. Okay? Notice that this is relevant. Okay? The two points are different, so this is not a zero vector, so this is positive. Okay? And this is a vector which belongs to the ball of center 0 and radius 1. Okay. Actually, if we call this Dn, the norm of Dn is exactly 1. Okay? What do we know about a sequence of unitary vectors? Well, a sequence of unitary vector lies inside a ball, so it's a bounded sequence. Okay? And we know that from a bounded sequence we can take a subsequence that converges somewhere. Okay? So, let's consider that subsequence, please. Allow me not to write the notation of the subsequence, okay? We are already taking the subsequence as n, okay? So we can suppose that the vector dn converges to some vector d, okay? Because the sequence is made of bounded, is bounded. Only, and also we know that the norm of d is the limit of the norm of dn, so it is equal to 1, okay? Let me zoom this picture, okay? I try to write it here. Here we have x. This is the unit ball. Okay. We have d1, d2, d3, and so on. And somehow, this sequence of vector is going to some limit, okay, to some d. Okay? In the limit. Notice, as you get closer, as you get closer to x bar, okay, this vector becomes smaller and smaller. Okay? But then you take a very small norm and you make it again to be the direction to have a unitary length. Okay? We could also consider, so, you know, this is the sequence. This is relevant data. Okay, we can also consider the sequence Dn of these norms. Okay, what we know is that Xn is going to x bar, so this sequence is going to 0. The distance between the points is going to 0. Okay, and I add a plus here to say that Dn is always positive. So we have built something done in this way. And also notice the following. Xn can be written as x bar plus tn dn. Okay? Because here you have x bar, tn is the norm of the difference, dn is xn minus x bar divided by the norm of the vector. So this erase, and so you have x bar plus xn minus x bar.
Okay. So XN can be written this way. And what we know is that by choice, we have taken the sequence of points inside X. Okay? So we have this. So the sequence, we have all these properties. We have a sequence of En, which goes to zero and then to negative, and the sequence of Bn, which are going to some b. Okay? This point belongs to categories. So now I'm in the position to give you a couple of definitions. A sequence which is done this way, with these properties, is called a feasible sequence for capital X at X bar. Okay? So, a sequence X such that feasible sequence for capital X at X bar in capital X, if we have the following. If N belongs to capital X for all N, and Xn is always different from X bar, and Xn goes to X bar as n goes to plus infinity. I remember where we started from. We started from the desire to check optimality for all type of sequences done this way. Okay? I could state you a result I'm not interested in, which says that X bar is a local minimum point if and only if for each feasible sequence at X bar satisfies this condition. Okay? For if N is large enough. But this is not what I'm interested in. I'm more interested in the fact that when you have a feasible sequence, okay, you have these properties. You have these properties just taking Tn to be the norm of Xn minus X bar, and to be taking Tn to be Xn minus X bar divided by this norm. Vector B, which satisfy this property, okay, are called limit directions. So B, which satisfies this, is called a limit direction for capital X at X bar. I formalize this once again, and I say that the direction B in Rn is a limit direction for capital X at X bar in capital X if there exists a feasible sequence such that a feasible sequence Xn such that dn converge to d. Okay? Is everything clear? Tutto chiaro? Okay. Let's check this on our example. Let's try to understand, in this example, which is the set of limit directions, okay, for capital X at X bar. Okay? So, you are taking all possible sequences, okay, which go to X bar, and you take the corresponding direction, okay, and then you take the limit of these directions, okay. Imagine your sequence, you can imagine any sequence being part of a curve. A curve inside. Inside the feasible region. Okay. So here you have x1, x2, x3, and so on. Whenever you have a sequence, you can imagine a smooth curve passing through this sequence. Which is the limit direction? Okay, if I take x1, the direction is this. If I take x2, the direction is this. If I take x3, the direction is this. x4, the direction is this. x5, the direction is this. And so, the direction is this, the direction is this. What you get, in the end, as soon as you get closer and closer to the point, you get the tangent. You get the tangent to the curve. Okay. Is the picture clear enough? Okay. When you take a point, this is the corresponding direction. This is the corresponding direction. This is the corresponding direction. Since you are getting closer and closer to X bar, when you are making the limit, you are making the tangent to this curve. You are going to the tangent, okay? It's a way to define the tangent to this curve. Okay. So this is our feasible region. I can take any curve inside the physical region, and then I take and then I have to evaluate the tangent at this point. Okay? What are all possible tangents? Well, all possible tangents are all these vectors. Okay? Because whenever I take a tangent, whenever I take a curve, I can make the curve touching X bar with this tangent, okay? The lowest I can take is clearly the one when I take the border. Okay?
So in our example, this is the set of limits. Direction. And now I take the set of limits direction together with all their multiples. Okay? What do I get? I get this code. I get the code. Okay. If you take the code generated by the set of limit directions, so all limit directions and their multiples, what you get is what is called the tangent cone, or since there are also other types of cones, the Boolean tangent cone of capital X of xy. And we can turn this into a formal definition. The tangent cone of capital X of xy is, well, actually, is done by all directions these which satisfy this condition for some sequence of points and some sequence of steps and directions. Okay? If you take this choice, you are taking the limit direction because they are unitary. Okay? If you take this as a definition, you take all of them plus all their multiples. Okay? So the formal definition is the set of directions D such that there exists a sequence xn made of points in capital X, and there exists a sequence dn of non-negative value steps which goes to zero, and there exists a sequence of points in Rn which goes to D, such that x bar plus t n times dn always belongs to x. Okay? All feasible sequences of all limit directions, since they are obtained through feasible sequence, satisfy this definition. Okay? But this definition is satisfied also and also by their multiples. Because, okay, if the direction D is not unitary, you can move its norm inside here. Okay? Since here you make the product, if D does not have a unitary norm, it's not a unitary vector, here you can take dn divided the norm of D and replace tn by tn times the norm of D, which is a constant positive value. Okay. So this is actually the set of all limit directions and their multiples. Okay. This is an example. This is the feasible region. This is the point. This is the tangent. Okay. These are the limit directions, and this is the tangent. That's well, what's the goal? Our goal is to check a local optimality. Okay. When we had the whole space, local optimality had to be checked looking along all the directions. Okay? You should not improve moving along any direction. Here, it is enough to check the same thing, but not for all directions. You have only to test directions which are in the tangent cone. Okay? Notice that we have given the definition, but what happens if x is a random? What is the tangent cone of the full space? Here you have the full space. So this requirement is always satisfied. So the tangent cone of the full space is the full space. Okay? So if you go back to the unconstrained case, this is once again telling you to check automatically along every possible direction. Moving along every possible direction. Since we are dealing with the constraint case, I will show you that we can check optimality just along this type of directions. Okay? The leading directions and their multiples. Okay, before going to the theorem, whose proof is pretty easy, okay. No, I need to give you two other properties of the tangent cone. First of all, the tangent cone, sorry for the silly statement, is a cone. Okay? A cone means that if the vector is in the set, all its multiples are in the set. Okay? So it is a cone. Second property, the tangent cone. So this is a cone and it is closed. Okay. Closed means that if you have a sequence of points in the tangent or directions in the tangent cone and they converge to some limit direction, also the limit direction belongs to the tangent cone. The definition of a closed set we have seen in the very first lectures. Another relevant situation. Take a point which is in the interior of the region. Okay? So, meaning that you have a full ball centered in the point which is inside X. Which is the tangent cone? Okay? It's inside. Which are the limit direction I can take to pass through this point staying inside the remaining inside the physical region. Okay? I can take any curve I want. Since we have a ball which is inside the region, notice that this point is going to x bar as n goes to infinity, because this goes to a vector and this goes to zero. So this is going to zero. Okay. Sooner or later, you will end up in this neighborhood. No matter which dn, d, and t you are choosing. Okay. You always end up there. So, this is always satisfied. So, if a point is in the interior, other relevant property. If x, capital X, is in the interior, x bar is an interior of capital X, the tangent cone of capital X at that point is again the full space. Okay? I will use this later. Okay, so I can state you the necessary optimality condition. We can prove it. Takes no more than 5 minutes, and then we take a small break. Okay, now, okay, let me know. Let's also make another example. Okay. Here you see that the tangent cone somehow contains the set. Okay? Suppose your set X is this. Okay? And these are, in the limit, they are vertical lines. Okay? Which is the tangent form at this point? Okay? You have to move.
Along any possible curves.
But these curves will always be limited by this curve and this curve, which tends to be vertical. Okay? So in this case, the tangent form will be just this top line. Okay? Because the only way you can go to x bar in the limit is vertical. Okay? Because this was okay, the tangent to this line, to this curve is vertical. It's the same vertical line. Okay? So notice it's not always true that the feasible region is covered by the tangent cone. Okay? What a big, let's say, if you get this. What is the big difference between this set, okay, the purple set and the yellow set? There's a huge difference. This, this is convex and this is not convex. Okay? This makes a huge difference and we will see it in the, after the break. So, I can take you the theorem and prove it. The proof is easy. Once again, the proof will be just applying Taylor's formula. Okay? No, let me make this. The necessary theorem, which says the necessary optimality condition, is the following. Suppose x bar in capital X is a local minimum point of our system. Then you have the curve, and f is differentiable, okay? We said that at the beginning. Then the scalar product of the gradient of f at x bar with any direction d which lies in the tangent cone of capital X at x bar is non-negative. Okay. The proof is Taylor's formula. Is based on the okay. Well, we know by assumption that X bar is a local minimum point. What does this mean? This means that if we take a ball a small radius around x bar, f at x bar is less or equal than f at x for every x in the ball of radius of center, sorry, x bar and radius x bar. Okay, so this is the definition of local minimum. Sorry. We are in the constraint case, so we also have that x must be in the feasible region, in capital X. Okay? Now, we want to check this condition for any direction be in the tangent cone. So let's take any b in the tangent cone. Okay. By definition, we have this. Okay. By definition, there exists a sequence Xn in capital X, Tn which goes to 0, and Dn which goes to B, such that Xn, sorry, but X bar plus Tn times Dn belongs to capital X. Okay? Now, we are almost done. Okay. Well, as n goes to plus infinity, this point goes to x bar, okay? Because this is going to zero and this is going to b. Okay. Since it is going to x bar, if n is large enough, this point will belong to this ball. Okay. So, x bar, the ball we have by the definition, and then we have this sequence which is going to x bar. From a certain point on, the sequence will be in capital, will be in the ball. The sequence is in the ball. The sequence is feasible. Okay. So we have the definition. F in the new point is less or equal than n that f at x bar. Okay. Because it's feasible and it's in the ball. Okay, let me write this inequality this way. Okay, now I can apply Taylor formula. First order Taylor formula, which states that this difference is equal to the gradient of f at x bar times, that is, scalar product, with the difference of these two vectors, which is tn times dn, okay, plus some residual, some remainder, which depend on the difference. Okay? This is Taylor formula. Okay. Now, allow me to divide everything by Tn. Okay. Now I take the limit as n goes to plus infinity. Okay. Dn goes to b. So this part goes to the scalar product of the gradient with D. And this okay, you know, Taylor formula. This is the remainder. Divided by this quantity. What is the property of the remainder? Okay. If you divide the remainder by the norm of this vector, it goes to zero as the vector goes to zero. Okay? Here, the norm would be this, so we can write it this way.
Okay? So this goes to zero because this goes to zero. This goes to the norm of D, so to some positive quantity. So all of this goes to zero. So this goes to zero. This goes to that. So this is the limit. And well, the sequence is made by non-negative values, so the limit is how? Non-negative. Okay? So we prove the theorem. Okay? Well, if you go back to the proof of optimality conditions, necessary optimality conditions, in the unconstrained case, you will see that the proof has exactly the same structure. Okay? What's the difference? The difference here is that we need that you have exactly the same sequence, a sequence like this. But here we need to guarantee that this sequence is feasible. Okay? If you don't have the constraint, this sequence is always feasible. So you can do this reasoning for every direction. Okay? While here we need to keep feasibility. And to keep feasibility, we need a tangent point. Indeed, suppose capital X is a ring. We have just said that the tangent cone in that case is the full space. So necessary optimality condition is telling you that the scalar products of the gradient with every direction in a ring is non-negative. Okay? This is possible if and only if this vector, which is the unique vector which has a non-negative scalar product with all vectors in the space, the zero vector. Okay? So note that this theorem contains also the optimality condition for the unconstrained case as a particular case. Okay? Because in that case, indeed, if you check the proof for the unconstrained case, we prove that this scalar product is non-negative for every direction. We proved that. We exactly proved that. And then we said, okay, if this holds, then this must be zero. Okay? Here we have to stop. We have to stop here because this is not the whole space. Okay? Another remark and then I stop. Really? For the break? And is this one. Suppose that a local minimum point lies in the interior of the feasible region.
Feasible.
Suppose that a local minimum point lies in the interior of the feasible region. Se non fosse ammissibile, l'ottimalità non ci potrebbe essere. Then its tangent cone is the whole space. And so this reasoning applies all the same, except for this part. Okay? So, as a corollary, you get that if a local minimum point lies in the interior of the feasible region, then it must be a stationary point. Okay. And this connects to the example I gave you on Tuesday when I said if the minimum point is not on the border but is in the interior of the region, it is like unconstrained optimization. Okay? It's exactly this thing. Okay? If a minimum point lies in the interior of the region, it must be a stationary point. If the point is in the interior of the region, the constraint becomes irrelevant. Because you are doing local optimality, You are doing local optimality, and to check local optimality, let's say the whole universe you are interested in is a neighborhood of the point. Okay? So if the neighborhood is all inside the region, you don't care much about the region. But if you are on the border, it is not possible that the whole ball is inside the region. Okay? So, let's take a 5 minutes break and then I show you what we can do when capital X is convex.